Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
Though droughts are becoming more frequent and intense in the Amazon, Brazil is going full steam ahead with plans to build hydroelectric dams throughout the region. Brazil's economy is booming, and energy planners want to prevent power outages like the one last fall that left nearly a third of the country without electricity. And they desperately need to keep the lights on when Brazil hosts the World Cup in 2014 and the Olympics 2 years later. Living on Earth's Bobby Bascom traveled to the Amazon, where one of the major hydro projects is in the works, and she has our report from the Madeira River.
From Porto Velho in the southwestern corner of the Amazon, the best, sometimes the only way to get around is by riverboat. A tree cut lengthwise serves as a squeaky footbridge between the shore and a floating dock on the Madeira River. Tied to the dock is a double-decker riverboat with peeling white paint and blue trim. A satellite dish sits on the roof, a group of men play pool, and hammocks swing in the breeze.
The first thing we do on the rivers of the Amazon, here in Rondônia, is ask permission to the river for us to navigate on.
Ivineje Cordoza is petite with long wavy black hair. Her father was a rubber tapper and she grew up in the forest with her family. Today she is head of Canadae, an environmental NGO working to protect the Madeira River. She folds her hands together in prayer and speaks directly to the river.
Rio Madeira, I want to ask you permission to come and do my work here and navigate on your waters. Thank you, river.
Obrigado, Rio.
Ivineje leads the way across the riverboat to a small aluminum skiff tied up in the baking sun. We pull on bright orange life jackets and sit down carefully on the hot metal seats. Fish biologist Marco Lima is my translator in Brazil.
Can you sit down here and then I'll sit in the back?
Okay.
Watch out, it's really hot.
We head up the largest tributary of the largest river in the world. The Madeira begins at the foot of the Andes Mountains in Bolivia and flows northwest to join the Amazon 2,000 miles away. Madeira means wood in Portuguese, and we watch huge tree trunks float by. During the rainy season, the river flows so fast that it erodes the banks and pulls giant rainforest trees out by their roots. The biodiversity of the Madeira River is legendary. More than 800 species of birds, 33 species of mammals, and 750 species of fish. Giant catfish and piranha, freshwater sawfish with long toothed bills. Ivineje Cordoza scans the water and sees something exciting.
Olha o boto vermelho, ai que lindo!
A big red dolphin, big dolphin.
Olha, viram agora? Ele vai pular de novo.
There's a bunch of dolphins.
Like many of the species here, the endangered pink river dolphin is only found in the Amazon. 5 miles upriver, we've gone as far as we're permitted. Marco ties the skiff to a log at the bottom of the riverbank. Just ahead, big pickup trucks dump load after load of giant rocks into the river, the foundation of the Santo Antonio Dam.
As you can see, what they're starting to do here is just simply starting the damming of the Hallwood River.
7 miles upriver, another dam, the Jirau, is quickly growing as well. Together, the two dams should produce over 6,400 megawatts of electricity, roughly enough energy for all the homes in a city the size of Boston. The government created several short films to sell the dams to the public.
The Santo Antonio and Jirau dams on the Madeira River are important parts of the national effort to produce more energy so the country grows.
Mais energia para as indústrias.
We need more energy for industry, agriculture, houses, and schools. We cannot develop without energy.
About 80% of Brazil's electricity comes from hydropower, so Brazil has a lot of experience with building dams, though not always successfully. 25 years ago, the Balbina Dam, to power the city of Manaus, flooded nearly 1,000 square miles of rainforest. The decaying vegetation there produced massive amounts of the powerful greenhouse gas methane, yet the dam generated only 112 megawatts of electricity. That would power about 33,000 U.S. homes. But Santo Antonio Energia says the Santo Antonio Dam will be different. Ricardo Ovis is the sustainability manager.
geração de energia área alagada.
Of all the hydro plants in Brazil, this will have the least impact. For 6 years, we've had consultants coming from several institutions in Brazil. They told us what we needed to do to minimize the possible future impacts.
Yet even Edi Cordoza remains skeptical.
Nós queremos desenvolvimento, sim.
What we want is development, yes. But development that respects the people, human rights, and the environment. With this dam, there will be incredible deforestation and such a big impact on the indigenous people and riverine people who live along the river.
Many people living along the river depend on it for their food.
It's one of the rivers in Amazonia that has the most fish.
Philip Fernside is an ecologist with INPA, the Brazilian National Institute for Research in the Amazon. He's tall, lanky, and has a thick gray mustache that covers his entire mouth.
It supplies the baby fish and the whole system. That's important for the fish that breed in the headwaters of the Madeira and then go downstream into the main part of the Amazon and grow to their huge size.
The giant Amazonian catfish can grow up to 9 feet long and 600 pounds. They are literally man-eaters, infamous for tearing legs and arms off scuba divers and swimmers. From the mouth of the Amazon at the Atlantic Ocean, adult catfish swim the length of the Madeira to the Andes Mountains to breed. It's 3,000 miles against the current. The developers plan to build channels around the dams for catfish and other migratory species to pass through.
Nobody knows if that will work or not.
Again, Philip Fernside.
No one's done that with these catfish before. It's not like salmon or trout or something that people have a lot of experience with.
Unlike salmon or trout, catfish are bottom dwellers, and scientists just don't know how they'll navigate through a fish channel.
So it's likely that they won't make it past these barriers. But even if they do, if they make it up into Peru and Bolivia and breed, the larvae, the baby fish, will come floating down the river. When they get to the turbines, they'll be sucked through the turbines because they won't be swimming around the edge through this side channel.
Another danger for any fish that do survive is mercury poisoning. 30 years ago, the Madeira River Basin was brimming with gold miners. They used mercury to separate out the gold and threw the waste into the river. Mercury settles to the bottom unless rushing water from a dam turns it up. Researchers already see elevated levels of mercury in many communities that depend on river fish for food. A World Wildlife Fund video titled "The Madeira River, Life Before the Dams" documents the lives of indigenous tribes like the Parintintin who live along the river.
Today, the supermarket for the Indians is the river. The non-Indians in the city goes to the market to buy a kilo of beef or fish. And when they build this dam, what happens to the culture of the Indian whose livelihood is fishing? Is somebody going to bring food here? No, nobody will.
100 miles upstream from the Santo Antonio Dam is the non-indigenous community of Mentum Paraná. The supermarket is in the center of town, where several dirt roads meet. Shoppers bustle in and out, buying fruit juice, pasta, and vegetables. José Fidamaya has owned this store for 32 years. When the dam's finished, the village will disappear underwater, and Fidamaya and his customers will move to a new town the government is building for them.
My expectation is to be really cool, because we're expecting to move for better.
José bags a few canned goods for Francisca, a regular customer. He uses a calculator to figure out her total, then flips through a spiral-bound notebook to find her name.
Well,
let me tell you the way I do. I simply buy, and whatever people can pay me, they pay. Whatever they can't pay, they pay me at the end of the month when they receive their salaries.
So will you take that same business model with you to the new community?
No.
Oh, no. Right over there, I'm going to use a computer. I'm going to terminate this book right here.
His customer, Francisca, says she's also looking forward to the move.
For me, I think it will be better. Life here is not easy. This area has a lot of malaria. We suffer a lot in this place. I'm not going to miss it.
But not everyone in Mentum Paraná is eager to pack their bags. Maria Jose sits on the back porch with her dog, facing the garden. Inside, her children watch a TV game show.
This place is so peaceful by the river. I have a lot of memories from this place. But we have to leave. We are obligated.
The outgoing president of Brazil, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, has an 80% approval rating. He's made development, jobs, and dam construction the hallmarks of his administration.
We are building a hydroelectric dam that is a model for the world, and we will continue building. Our most important concern is the Brazilian people.
Brazilians love Lula, but many observers see a conflict of interest. Brazil's largest construction company, Odebrecht, is pouring the concrete on the Madeira River. The company also poured a lot of money into President Lula's campaign fund. Lula's handpicked successor, Dilma Rousseff, shares Lula's ambitions for Brazil. She recently won the presidential election, but earlier in her career, she was head of the agency that approved projects like the Madeira River dams.
It is necessary to realize our potential. If we think of our country as small, it will stay small. Or we can think big, for example, the hydroelectric dams.
At first, IBAMA, Brazil's version of the EPA, denied approval for the dams, saying the environmental review was inadequate. Lula's government ordered IBAMA to approve the dams anyway. The director of the agency at the time was forced to resign, and a few months later, IBAMA gave the green light, stipulating 33 changes to mitigate environmental damage. Cesar Guimarães is chief of IBAMA in the state of Rondônia, where the Madeira River dams are being built.
Pressão política sempre existe, né, em todos os níveis, né? Isso.
Political pressures will always exist, but we need to remember that we need a clean environment to live well.
I wonder if you ever feel threatened to do what people want you to do in terms of approving the dam project.
Mas eu trabalho apaixonante.
I love my job, but this threat is not only to me, but the other agents and the institution. But it's my duty.
After we stopped recording, Guimarães' cell phone rang. He didn't answer it. He says he often doesn't answer his phone because it could be a death threat. His job, enforcing environmental law, busting illegal loggers and poachers, makes him unpopular. Many in the scientific community said the environmental impact statement IBAMA finally signed off on is still inadequate. Research scientist Philip Fernside.
The environmental impact process had virtually no effect on the actual decision of whether they were going to make the dam or not. That is, they'd already decided to make it before they even had the information about what impacts there would be, and the reports themselves don't cover a lot of the major impacts very well.
Fernside says the environmental review only examined impacts upstream of the dams and stopped at the Bolivian border. It didn't consider floods on the Bolivian side of the river, the methane the dam would create, or how ecosystems and communities downstream will be affected. And Fernside says the government sold the dams to the Brazilian people under false pretenses.
One gets the impression that this electricity is going to be lighting the light bulb in your house and your television set and so forth, but that's really a very small part of it. A lot of this electricity is going for making aluminum, for example, that's exported to the rest of the world.
A Brazilian smelter can use as much energy as a city of a million people. In the end, Fernside says the benefits might not outweigh the costs.
Nobody's counted up all of these impacts of these dams that are destroying the fisheries, you're emitting greenhouse gases, all of these things. You have to add all these things up and compare them with what Brazil's getting in benefits.
The Madeira River dams are just two of 60 such projects planned for the Brazilian Amazon, part of a huge international development to connect the countries of South America with paved roads and waterways, so export goods like soy can be transported to the coasts more cheaply. Back in Rondônia, the Madeira River continues to flow freely to the Atlantic Ocean, just as it has since the Andes Mountains rose up 10 million years ago. But not for much longer. Construction of the Jirau and Santo Antonio dams continues around the clock, and they'll both be finished within 2 years. For Living on Earth, I'm Bobby Bascom in Porto Velho, Brazil.
Just ahead, heading deep into the Yucatan forest in search of chewing gum. Stay tuned to Living on Earth.
Support for the Environmental Health Desk at Living on Earth comes from the Cedar Tree Foundation. Support also comes from the Richard and Rhoda Goldman Fund for coverage of population and the environment, and from Gilman Ordway for coverage of conservation and environmental change. This is Living on Earth on PRI, Public Radio International.